Orde, ik stel de staatspresident aan u op.
Friday, the 2nd of February 1990. F.W. de Klerk was opening yet another session of Parliament, in which the majority of South Africans played no part. In the week leading up to the speech, there'd been some rumours that this was going to be momentous stuff. But National Party leaders had promised significant change before. And despite a few liberalising moves the previous year, such as pro-democracy marches in major centres and the release of some Robben Island prisoners, the substantial realities of apartheid South Africa were as harsh as ever. De Klerk's opening words gave little hint of the profound drama to come.
Meneer die Speaker, leden van die parlement, die algemene verkiezing...
Mr. Speaker, members of Parliament, the general election of 6 September 1989 has set our country irrevocably on a path of far-reaching change. Fundamental to this is the growing realization among increasing numbers of South Africans that only a negotiated settlement between the representative leaders of the entire population can ensure lasting peace.
Talk of negotiations and change, to be sure. But hadn't South Africa heard this before? De Klerk then turned to other matters: the state of the economy, the budget, and the role of the independent homelands. It was 25 minutes before he returned to the subject of negotiations. And when he did, South Africa would never be the same again.
There is no time left for advancing all manner of new conditions that will delay the negotiating process. The steps that have been decided are the following: the prohibition of the African National Congress, the Pan-Africanist Congress, the South African Communist Party, and a number of subsidiary organizations is being rescinded.
De Klerk then detailed other steps, including the easing of curbs on the media and on restricted organisations and individuals. And then right at the end of his speech, another history-changing announcement from the man who'd been running the country for less than 5 months.
In this connection, Mr. Nelson Mandela could play an important part. The government has noted that he has declared himself to be willing to make a constructive contribution to the peaceful political process in South Africa. I wish to put it plainly that the government has taken a firm decision to release Mr. Mandela unconditionally. I am serious about bringing this matter to finality without delay. The government will take a decision soon on the date of his release.
February the 2nd, 1990 was an extraordinary day in South African history. In the weeks that followed, many tried to look back on F.W. de Klerk's life for clues. What had made him act with such boldness to break with the deep traditions of a party which embraced him virtually from birth? Frederick Willem de Klerk was born in March 1936 in Johannesburg into a family of National Party stalwarts. His great-grandfather was a senator. His aunt had married Prime Minister J.G. Strydom, and his father had served as a cabinet minister. De Klerk joined National Party organisations as a student, became a Member of Parliament in the early 1970s, and in 1978 took up his first cabinet post, that of Minister of Post and Telecommunications, later becoming Minister of Home Affairs and National Education. As Education Minister, de Klerk threatened to cut subsidies to universities where anti-apartheid protests were growing in intensity. And when rugby bosses Dr. Danny Craven and Louis Late went to Harare in Zimbabwe to meet the ANC, it was de Klerk who led the National Party attack.
Ek vind het skokkend dat die president van een van die Republiek van Suid-Afrika's nationale sportsoorte.
I find it shocking that the president of one of South Africa's national sports, especially for us this sport, bypasses the government of his country and approaches a terrorist organization which is involved in daily terrorist attacks on innocent citizens. The government, ladies and gentlemen, stands by its principled position that dialogue with the ANC remains totally unacceptable for as long as the ANC persists with its present actions and approach.
Negotiations with the ANC, once unthinkable, were now part of daily political life in South Africa. But before tackling that in earnest, de Klerk still had some unfinished business with his own people. In March 1992, he called a whites-only referendum on the question of reform. Fears that de Klerk might have gambled too much hung over South Africa. But the result was a convincing vote for change. And when the results were announced, de Klerk was exultant.
Today we have closed the book on apartheid, and that chapter is finally closed. There were those who objected somehow or another to the fact that this was an all-white referendum. I think that it sounds an element of justice that us, who started this long chapter in our history, were called upon to close the book on apartheid.